This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I'll read to you verse 8. So from verse 5, that will help us to get it there. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is the verse of our meditation this morning, and our subject is Christ, Christ the way. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, okay, dear, here can I say, you have a few in to John chapter 14. And teacher, it's here, and on that, Jesus Christ, Thomas, beside Jesus Christ, said, and if I say, Jesus Christ, I'm say, or call, and then I'm say, oh, no, Thomas, beside, if I know, or call, on Jerome, and I'm going to swim, who pine, and Jesus Christ, you know, say, meaning, not a pine, we pray, and I'm going to be on to me, John, how you said, I'm so. So this was a response to Thomas when he asked the Lord Jesus Christ that, because before Jesus Christ had told them he was going back to his Father in heaven, and he told him to show them how they will also have access to God by this question. And as I've told you, our subject this morning is Christ the way, because our attention will be on the I am the way, only that this morning. And before we go on, is it not strange that Thomas, an apostle, who has walked with Jesus to that point, was ignorant of the way to God? It's amazing that also it is. The American said, "You want Thomas or your apostle? Our kind young friend who are coming by excuse to, and he said, 'Now we will do man.' Also, when we find one, we do not go there. We do not need any help from said Joseph or I'm saying, 'Oh my father,' he wanted to know, to learn the way. Christ should show him the way. And it is so that when we think of many today also who claim to be Christians but are ignorant of what it takes to be saved or to know God, it's not a surprising thing, that knows, because Thomas himself was at this point ignorant. People have to learn. And it is sad that these days people think that, well, when I go to church and I join church, whatever, I'm a Christian. And as you know, when you are filling a form, a passport form, whatever, what is your religion? A Christian. I'm a Christian. No! Look at Thomas. Thomas himself didn't know. And indeed, it was all the disciples. They knew that he had come from heaven. They knew that he was the Messiah. They had believed in him. But then, for them to really know that he was the one that God has given, that himself is God, that through him they can know God. They were not clear about that. So it is not strange that people who claim to know God today are ignorant of him. And it's sad that many have been died and gone on to eternal damnation, and many are still going on with this ignorance. It's sad. But then the Bible is there for us to help us. So we are thinking of this Christ the way. And when we, I'm sure we all know, and the word that is translated way means that the mode or a means to something. When we say something is a way, I mean literally, it's a road to somewhere which leads us to something or somewhere. So the Lord Jesus Christ referring to himself that he's the way to the Father means that it is by him alone that a sinner can have contact with God in this life and in the world to come. The can say you can't say a Bible you can't acquire or Bible anymore. It's just acquire idea a fast one to call baby. And answer idea train and they call baby. And the yes Christ can say on any acquire no acquire Janua or Patrick on no penny near and Namu Soma the boy any between Yanku Ponya and Kabum and Ya Hun Yanku Pong. And we are seeing any that change we are seeing. It's something which is so emphatic. It's something which is an expression. It's short, I am the way, and other things connected unto the Father. Nobody can go to the Father but by him. It's It's so conclusive that there's nothing that can be added to it. That means there's no allowance if we want to know God and we don't come to Christ. So you see, what Jasper is telling us is that that's how we can know God. If we know Him and what it takes to know Him, that's how we can know God. It's simple, but then how many find it difficult? It's simple, but to really know Christ and to give myself to Him is another thing. It's simple to hear. Then you can say, so yeah, you still can say, oh, many find no. Hey, dear, let's see, yeah, pray. And yet they say, best year. Now say, yeah, and can say, best media, your mama must have find. How we can give ourselves to begin this way is something that is quite difficult for all of us. But then, before we move on, you know that why there should be a way, a particular way that will link us to the Father. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God will come to Adam and Eve and converse with them as a son will come to a friend. You see, but then after sin entered into the human race, the way to God was lost. We saw that the angel barred them from getting to the tree of life. God Himself, this tree of life represents God, the life God gives us to sustain us. The life which makes us to know God and really live how we think. This way was cut off. Man cannot know God. Man is lost. Man is cut off. And then man became, if you look at the account in Romans chapter 1, look at how it describes how generally man, loss of the knowledge of God, and people begin to worship idols and thinking that animals and other creatures are to be taken as gods and all that because of their darkness. And because men, instead of when they saw power of God in creation, instead of them to really seek and think of the wonder of this God who has made these things, well, they rather want to worship the creatures. And that is what the folly of human heart has become because of sin. So that we come to this world ignorant of who God is. And we don't even care that God has made us. And we don't even care to know His way. That is how we have become. Man has lost his way. And then, as I've hinted, that many have hopelessly invented other means, which is either idolatry or kind of worship, whatever. Many have hopelessly invented other means. And all the other means are able to lead people to God. They all lead people rather into and rather give them license to sin. All that means, unless you are a true Christian, it will be difficult to assess this. But if you look at all other religions and their mode of acceptance to God or kind of holiness, it gives license to sin. It will hint on a particular way and then and mostly the heart sins are not touched at all. All other religious systems does not touch the heart. That's not that. That's not. It tells that my intentions and my desires. That's where sin comes from. No, it just tells you, don't do that, don't do this, avoid this and that. No, but that is not the issue of man. As last time we learned that the human heart is totally bad and needs to be changed. So God must teach us. And when people have invented other ways, the Bible, the Word of God teaches us there's only one way. That's what we have to listen. The can say, "Emra, you can say, before we try some more share, I bet you need quite a bit of so much more money and go and the quite poor man, you know, didn't you ever say, you know, because this is all your if I were to me, why was supposed to, why would it sonny after so if we say, oh, share, pay on me any year, was a more deep one be so much, and you know, my money be brain, no, and yeah, we are in your bonus. You know, pray home out here. There are some even Christian groups who think that been drinking alcohol is not sinful. There are Christian groups who think that, doing some certain things are not sinful. And yet, the Bible is so clear about it, and yet they will think that they are Christians. You see, the other religions which approve killing, and as if killing is not wrong. If you come to African traditional religion, for instance, when somebody does something, they take them to the wherever and they wish that the person is dead. They do whatever. And then this chanting and whatever. And people think that it's right. I have I know someone. When he does something and you know that he has done wrong, he will defend it. And at the point, I know that he is into this African tradition. He tells me, for me, I don't sin. Do you know why is it that his idea of sin is different? For me, I don't sin. For me, I like the truth. And yet you know that he's lying. Because his idea of sin is different. Probably he thinks that maybe sin is maybe doing some everything. And that is how it is. When people try to find other means to think, well, they are worshiping God, and not according to what the Bible teaches us, it leaves them open to Satan and immoralities. In every religion, if you observe how people, it doesn't matter where you come from. If you know what the Bible teaches well, and you assess them, realize they are rather licensing people for a particular kind of sin. And it's okay. So that is what we are thinking about. We have fallen and we are lost the way to God. Only God must show us. In the Bible, the way to God is called the way of holiness. In the Isaiah book, Isaiah chapter 35, we read verse 8 tells us the way of holiness. The way to God is called the way of holiness. And it is the way which the Lord Jesus Christ has come to secure for us. This is the way the Jesus Christ has come to purchase for us, because we have lost it. His sinless life and his atoning death on the cross of Calvary was for this purpose. He needed not to come and die. He's not a sinner. He is the God of glory, the Son of God. He equal with the Father. Yet because God saw that we were missing and we cannot find our way back to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We have all gone astray, and another portion of scripture tells us, we are like sheep, we have all left the way. None of us think good. Meaning that, it's not that we are totally bad, but then, when God weighs us, we are not good, because we have sin with us. And in that state of sin, we cannot know the way of holiness. Holiness, purity. Look at light. When a light is shining, there's no darkness in the light. That's how God's nature is. And how can we be like that before God? God must help us. That's what Christ came to secure for us. His sinless life on earth, he obeyed the will of God perfectly, and is going to the cross to die on our behalf, to give himself in our place, to take the punishment of sin for us. Yes, Christo, on open up what we are saying, your bonnet that was sons of call Calvary, a send yaso, a coco, yet a bonnet wants to check to the hustle. And no any acquire or the air train say better me a puzzle. And any joy, So I am the way. Christ's words makes every other belief system false. I am the way. I am the only road to God. If you want to know God, he says, I am the way. So that every belief system that claims to guide people to God should be false. He didn't say that I am a way. He said, I am the way. Yes, we talk as on the final. I just said, I am the way, the only way to the Father. And he did not just also say that he's the way, but his works have proved him as the only way indeed. His works. In John 14:11, he told Thomas or Philip. Yes, it was Philip. When Philip also came, and he said that I'm in the Father in me, and if you don't believe at all, believe me for my very works' sake. Christ, when he came into this world, did works, miracles, and did many things to prove that he was God. Who can restore life? Lazarus was dead for how many days? He was getting rotten. Only he can give life. Many people have claimed to give resurrection, but none of them is true. Nobody can prove it. People have claimed that they've resurrected dead people. They are all false. Only Christ can give life to a rotten person. Who can give life? Only Christ. His works prove. Look at him. His power. He could feed 5,000, 4,000 with a few loaves of bread and a fish. He could raise the dead. He can tell people, your sins are forgiven thee. He can also tell demons, just get out. People try to do deliver whatever, they are just joking. Look at the kind of demon, the Bible, only the Bible that teaches us demon possession. One of them, we are told that when they even bind him with chains, he's able to break it off. Demon possession means people have extraordinary powers. Some, the demon was tormenting him, he cast him, he was just giving him restlessness. And there's other people like the one Paul, Apostle Paul, the young lady who can, like necromancer, who can see things and having that evil eye. So you see, what people are doing in churches are just, they are just doing concept. Demon possession, if somebody is possessed with demon, he has extra, it's not just normal human being. The one who was, when they said they chained him, he could break it off. He had extra power. But what do people claim today? They claim to people are demonic and yet they are just ordinary people. No. That is why Satan is so clever. He's using that to cloud over what Christ has done. So that people, so these so-called charismatic healers, they don't know that they are rather making people to think that it's easier to heal people. It is not. What Christ has done and what he did, nobody can do. He gave the power to the apostles, we know in the Bible. They did. Apostle Paul himself had to resurrect somebody who fell and was dead and all that, you see. But what you are talking about, his work, his power over demons. At one point, when he was going to the demon possessed, the demon possessed spoke to him. Are you coming to torment us before our time? Who had that power? Only he. So you see, he not just claimed that he's the way, his own works on earth testify. The history of his works in the Bible testify all this. So he tells, so that we would say to anybody, if you don't believe in Jesus, read about his works. What he said, believe me for my very works sake, that I am the way. So when the Christ on the cross, I kind, you more be here, to me I'm not here. Last night we talk of he's stealing the storm. Who can spoke to the sea? Who can spoke to nature? Only he. When I bet me I can't share about the cell phones in front of my two person. Nothing I did. Only bet me I. Yes, Christ. Or say, when the noon the crowd, say, need some actual no say, if we say, the crowd is shaming, you more by a dead, he said, only penny a point to the moon. All others are mere human beings. He was God's Godman. He was God and who came to take a human nature. He was there before he came. That is why he said that he can, in John chapter 17, he said that Father glorified thy Son with the glory I had with thee before I came. See, when he was coming to complete his work. Okay, so now thinking further about subject, as Christ the way, the only way. First, we think of his mediation as the only way to be accepted by God. When we talk of his mediation, we start to talk of you have offended somebody. A great person or a king, for instance, in the villages. I don't know if it's still happening. This time, when maybe you do something against the chief in a village, you have to go for people who are prominent in the society to lead you. So you go with maybe your clan head or whatever, then they go there and talk to him for you so that you be accepted. So that's the picture of this. So you need. So as God, the sin has caused us a gap. And we need a mediator. And that mediator should be the same as God himself. And who can be? Except himself. You see, except somebody who is like him and his son. So we are talking of his Christ mediation is the only way to be accepted by God. Any other mediation was not accepted. Well, in the Old Testament, you know, there was a priest. It was God who instituted it. That through them, then he received them. But then it was just a type. We'll see as we go, I'll explain some of those things. So just a type, but Christ is the actual mediator that we have to look up to. So, to have access to God here, when we say to have access to God or to go to God, is merely to have to obtain his acceptance so that as sinners, he'll give us like a right fellowship and he'll accept us and look upon us as a people that he has nothing against us. So to obtain his acceptance is to be right with him. That's what it is. as I give the example, as somebody who has offended the village chief, how can I go and be right with him again, except I go there and he accepts me? The can say, yeah, you Christo. Ne, so on the point, yeah, if you intend to not, you ma, or yeah, Emma, Yenny, at the boy of war, and I know that an open announcement, I'm going to go edgy yet too. If you say, and I'm going to say, I said, okay, grass here, do it first, you know, so be full more here over while, so fun for you, for I don't name the name, no, can't seminar, was there too. So the enemy in Funia Kama is a Christian intent in any. Because, while as I've said, we are all born in sin and we live in sin. We are born in sin. We are born as sinners and we live to sin. And indeed, if we should appear before God, God's justice demands that our sins should be punished. He's the judge of all the earth. God is the judge of all the earth. And His justice demands punishment for every sin. The earth can say, yes, Yankupon, Yanipoyanfo, Yahuyahuatubonim, Yahansu Ayaboni. That's the case you couldn't name your young queen anymore. Name Paripari, I will say a king or so. Smithima on one castle a year, Yangupo a year, I came well for, and also we are telling my one. If we shall appear before God in our own persons, God must judge us. He must judge us. He must punish us for our sins. He must punish us. So then, how can we be accepted before Him? And this is what we are talking about. See, the brethren are to me, Abanim, no idea to. You know that even an unrepentant sinner, a sinner who has unrepented sinner, who comes to the worship of God and still wants to keep his life of sin, is disgusting to him. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, you see, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. In a state of sin, I cannot offer anything that God will accept. So, me at the point, you know, me per se, Mr. Kirkby, born of Hunger, the Hunyanko, promise ma, or back to me. Now, some per se, Miss Sumanoa, Bible says, Miss Sumano, may the banning him, everyone. That's how it is. My sacrifice, my notice, when I look at a sinner, I mean, somebody who don't repent and then he's bringing an offering to offer it on the altar before God, say that what? Is what? Abomination to him. A chuadi on Yanguk when he said, Made the boy in the Amis, maybe say, Mr. Crabby. Then some people said, When I'm going to be married, you see, a chuadi with him. So you see, if we should see ourselves in this light that we cannot come to God by ourselves because of our sin, then we will see the importance of a mediator. And even who basically maintained journey in the Hunya Path, see who said, Well, Yanguk, where you come from? The crown point, yes, you had the boy for. You to me, you're going to change. That means you'll see a new view of it in Timwa mind. And we're going to say, who's near past the age of Saint Timjane? God is sinless, and the mediator should be sinless. God, there should be somebody who is equal with Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is equal with the Father. He is the one who appeared for us. In Ephesians 2:18, the Bible tells us that. For through Him, that the Lord Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Him. And now the soul of it's through Him alone that we have access. If we deceive ourselves that, well, we can go to God by ourselves, we deceive ourselves. God is invincible. How do we know Him? We know Him by His word. God is invincible. We know Him by His words. His creation and all that He does. You see? We don't see God with our eyes. God is there. But how can we know Him? He has given us His word. And we cannot sit down and imagine, oh well, God is there, we have heard of Him, there is God, but then we are choosing how we can assess Him. Is it not, quote unquote, foolishness it is? That God has given us how we can approach Him. And we say, no, we want to trace our way. We want to come our own way. No! Nobody will do that. See? But that is why. For through Him, we both have access. Apostle Paul was talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. Even the Jews have to come through Jesus Christ. The Jews have to, God, I will touch on that. When Jesus Christ, all their ceremonial system were abolished. They also have to come. Both Gentiles and Jews have to come through Christ and to have access to God. That's what Apostle Paul says. For through Him, we both Gentiles and Jews, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Why? Because we are ignorant and He alone can show us the right way to God. We are ignorant. Because the Jews, you know, the Jews were, because God instituted that animal sacrifices, they thought that, well, that should be enough. No. As I will touch on that, you see that it was for a purpose. So when Christ came, we have to abandon that and come to what Christ has done. And then the Gentiles also, who were without the right way of God, should also come to the same way. So we both have the same access to God. We are also sinful, separated from God by our sins. He alone can bring us back. We have lost our sin, we have lost our way. Yeah, said the idea, no, Yankupon, Yadrin, to me actually find, send Nam, a forever boy, and as soon as Israel for cry no more, and Yanko Choma find, or some to Sa, and what a forever one of Green Chain, no more Christian. If you said, or Christo by Yankupon, you do when I'm saying, Postal, I'm not sure, let's just look back. But then, yes, I'm saying, I'm going for, you're seeing with Yankupon, we are born in the, on open the way to me, dear Baba. In 1 Peter 3:18, it tells us only Jesus Christ can bring us back to God. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but taken by the Spirit. See that whenever the Bible connects us and talks about Christ bringing us to God, it is connected with his death. It is connected with him as our mediator. It is connected with his work as what? Offering himself for our sin. If you take away that, you don't know Christ. If you take away that your Christ is not the Christ which the Bible teaches us of, which can give us salvation. So, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was just, we are unjust. That he might bring us to God. You see how it is? Bring us to God. We cannot go to God. If we say we can go to God, we deceive ourselves. He might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Being dead, he died, he rose again. He has life in himself to give us to go to God. We lost that life, that will bring us to God. You see, so Christ has to give us this life, give us all that we need to access God. Okay, so, and this work of mediation was pictured under the Aaronic priesthood in the Old Testament. Yeah, because the priesthood, that will try and say, because on what for Yankupon and Chen. And so or the home of the home of for your mabone bakupe or not training, you know, and my inner yentine, Sanodia ba Yankupon Chen. I need you kunun so unyane or soon soon. And I can say, make us say, and maybe a baby Christ to sell on and lamb to quote Yankupon Chen Viano. Ne Jumo Bay ya or Boa for your Calvary, then whom I ya kunun. But Bible no can get up. I can't get up with Genesis. We are no people are Christo, I do or not Christo, but you don't want. Because I don't want a human agent as a woman, but no idea for no whole association at the tonus. If you take away that, you have no Christ. Okay, so we are also thinking of his mediation. And his mediation, as I've said before, was a picture. The Old Testament Aaronic priesthood was a picture of what Christ was coming to do in the future. So, but then his was the proper one. So you see that the mediation of Christ is unceasing. It never ceases. When he came, he died, he rose up, he's seated on the right hand of the Father on high, making sure that all those who come to him, he saves. All those who confess their sins and call upon him, he's alive, he saves. All those who have come to him, they realize that he saved them. He hears us when we come to him. And so, but unlike the Aaronic priesthood, for them, their mediation ceases when they die. Even when it was working, immediately Aaron died, his son has to be brought, and when other people die, their children have to be brought. It was not the perfect one, so it was not continuous. It has to be succeeded. And even now, as I told you, it is no more. That institution of the Aaronic priesthood is no more, because the ceremonial law is abrogated. It is no more the Old Testament system where people have to offer for their sin. It's no more the Jewish, Israel, the worship of the Jews in that ceremonial system. It's no more. The Bible says it's no more. But then Christ has come. He is the antitype. The old is the type. Christ is the antitype. So when the reality comes, shadow is gone. Is that also when the sun is coming to shine, all the shadows will see. Immediately the sun comes, all the shadows are diminished. So that is what Christ is the main thing. He is the only person who can really take away sin. So we see here in Hebrews chapter 7, 24 to 25. But this man, referring to Christ, his humanity as mediator, because he continued forever, continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What the Bible is saying is that Christ is alive, he died and rose up again, and death could not stop him. But Aaron and his the Levi tribe and their work as priests were abrogated. And even in their lifetime, when they died, they have to be replaced. But Christ has eternal priesthood because he lives forever. He has life to give. He is perfect. There can say Aaron may as if for a sofudino mudino we intend now for the mat at the boy for some baba diomo for a body ever by no more on your meaning. I will say, Pim with you. In Pim with Ram will let him if we say, Oh, no, be a babes your money, oh, no, be a babes your money. But Christo, ah, no, it's not a diano, a dinahoman, or no buy, you know. Oh, you know, I saw a house of trust into me. Or that's why you're intending in the mind that engine. Let's also remember that Christ's mediation is by God's appointment. Yes, because you're in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The man Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Okay, so what this means is that if God will accept your person, your worship, your service, then it must come to him through Christ. The Genesis says, Yangu Bo Beji wo uni pa viasa obeji wa tu say, obe fao say ni ba and now odwa can go from that's the usuma usuma and now bibia yama obeji atumwa. So we hear what nam Christus. Believing that in him is the one who can save. He is your Savior and Lord. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is your Savior and Lord. Believing in him as such, that he wants you to save you from your sin and then to govern your life for you. Nowadays, people think of Christ as their Savior, but not he as their Lord. When you talk of that, they are trying to say, it's interesting that people can really be cunning about things of God. Yes, oh yes. So people, they say, well, people can be saved, but they can live their life anyhow. They are saved. They are God's people. But then, the Bible says, those that Christ saves, he rules. He told the Jews in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed. And how can we be saved? How can we be Christian if you don't continue the words of Christ? So you see, if we continue, so we have to believe in him that he will save us from our sins and that we want him to govern our life because we have lost our way, we have lost what it takes to live a holy life. He must show us how we will live. So believing in him as that he is the one who will represent you before the Father and as your advocate in heaven. If you don't come through Christ, who will advocate for you in heaven? So one for Christ, so one by your good point here. Why never you obey now when you obey now heaven now? You are a sinner. Me, I'm a sinner. Who can stand in for us? Who can help us to go to God if we don't come through him? So there's Psalm 24, verse 34, questioning us. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sown deceitfully. Which one of us can claim to be clean, have clean hands? None of us. I don't claim. Nobody can claim. Who can tell that he has a pure heart? I don't have. You don't have. You see, God, Christ has to make us. And then, who can say that he has not lifted his soul to vanity? As we are growing up, there are many things, vain things we have chased after. Who have not done things foolishly? We have all done so. So who can appear before God? By himself, that's the question. Except we have the mediator, who will cover us, who will shield us. And that he himself, directing us how we will live our life, he himself will cover us. So we know that we cannot have access to God by ourselves, so by our own way of thinking, but what he has done. The mediation of Christ, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. If we ask him,
Nia oye intemtina foye Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I think of my second thoughts here, and the second my time is running, so I also run. When we think of him as the one to have, to whom we have access to God, we think of him as, we think of his propitiation as the only sacrifice which removes sin. His propitiation, hey, sacrifice for sin. Appeasement for sin is the only sacrifice that takes away sin. Not just his mediation, that's one, but his sacrifice, not him as the priest, but then the offering itself. We are thinking of the offering itself that brings about this cleansing. In Hebrews 10:3-4, but in those sacrifices, referring to the animal sacrifices, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. You see? This is what the Bible is telling us, that all those Old Testament sacrifices, God didn't give us so that it would take away sin, but it was God who instituted that, but it was not actually those animal sacrifices that could take away the punishment for sin. It cannot satisfy God for our sin. It could not. For the mere shedding of animal's blood could never make any soul pure. The animals do not, morally, animals do not have anything that can pay. The animals are not moral creatures. They have nothing in them to pay for sin. You see? But it was a demonstration that the Son of God will one day come and offer the actual sacrifice, which alone can remove the guilt of sin. Why? Because morally Christ was perfect. He fulfilled all the commandments of the law, the requirements of the law, and he actually has righteousness to give. He's the Lord of the Lord, the righteous. He's the Lord of righteousness. He has in himself. The animals don't have that to give. Not just for the time being as a representative, but Christ himself has something to give. His body and blood were human, but then pure and free from sin. He could offer himself in place of sinners, and God accepted. He could satisfy the punishment that is due for sinners. He only, not animals. So you see, in Romans 3:25, whom God, that is Christ, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. God has exhibited him as our propitiation. God has exhibited him as our satisfaction for sin. So that if I see my sinfulness and I want God to forgive me, I look up to Christ. It's like a exhibition. Christ is giving to us in this way. Even for the past. So that we believe in the Bible that the sins of the Old Testament saints, from Adam to all, God covered it up. And then when Christ offered it, for their sins and ours, it took away. Because the animals couldn't really take away their sins, but the sacrifice of Christ. So God, it was forbearing. God was forbearing with them. God was patient with them. And that he waited when Christ offered. And he took away everything. So theirs and ours, both the Old Testament sins and ours, it was all poured on Christ. So that when a sinner believes that Christ's blood was shed to satisfy the punishment for his or her sins, and that is by that sacrifice alone that God will forgive his or sins and be reconciled back to God. God has promised that he would forgive such a person. When I come to God with this mind that yes, I'm a sinner, but this is what God has put down. Oh Lord, I come that you forgive me. I come that through Christ, whom you sent, your Son, and his sacrifices, which you have accepted, forgive me. And forgive me of my sins. We are all sinners, and it is only by his merit that we can be pardoned. It is only the blessings of Christ's sacrificial that bestows everything necessary for our reconciliation with God, our redemption from sin slavery, our deliverance from Satan's power. How can I be free from the power of sin? Not that I will not sin, but that sin will not, any sin will have dominion over me, except Christ have saved and redeemed me, has taken me from the power of sin. He has done this, he has cleansed me with his blood. How can I be delivered from the power of Satan and his temptation to suggest, so that when he tempts me, I can really say no, and really have that firm resistance against him? Except Christ saves me. Except I am saved. And you know, in Africa, here people think of demons and witches. And that's what these false prophets are taking them, using to take money from people. How can I be free from demons and witches? Come to Christ. If you are in Christ, nobody can touch you. If you are in Christ, demons and witches, no. But you know, people will not come to Christ, and yet they want to be free from their enemies, and these enemies of their soul. You can never have it. They can say, go for a break. They can say, excuse me, they are for a poor boy, you know, and I'm so not. And I'm going to go to the and I'm going to get to me, I give you one. And open an Amazon if you need to be a few of them. Let me just say, over Africa, how near Ghana, how? They go, from Shafat for the only thing of Posica is, oh, I be for a demons being near identity or so by that, or mobile mobile. Let me just say, yes, Christ, or more German, or German feet of one something. It is those row of one and the other brand in chain. But the other one is, go home with some young bunny, and so many. A bamboo free, I will some to the any possible. People want to live in their sin and then be free from demon and Satan. It's not possible. You will be in their hands. If, I mean, whatever way their things are, you will be there. Sometimes people have asked me, so can a Christian be bewitched? Like in Africa, we know that people can, they call it juju, they can put it there in step on it and say, like they can bewitch you. And then I said, no, if you're a true Christian, it's not possible. It is not possible. No true Christian can be bewitched. No, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That is true. Except you have not believed. Except you are not in Christ. No demon can bewitch a Christian. Except you are not a true Christian. That's why people don't want to come to Christ and know him and his power. So they are afraid of Satan and his demon, whatever it is. It's not possible. So you see, there's a solution concerning our state of sin where Satan is molesting us. Are we willing to give ourselves to this? My time is already gone. But then, let us remember that any other way invented by man cannot lead us to God, except what God has shown us here. Except we come to that. And if we also don't see that our sins are so great that we think we have lived respectable lives and that we have not fallen into any great scandal, we have not defrauded anyone, and that we by somehow, some means, we are able to obey the laws of God, so God will accept us, we deceive ourselves. Everything we do before God, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 verse 6, but we all are unclean things and all our righteousness are filthy rags. The good things we can do is as filthy rags. Or see, so what again can you offer to God to be accepted? Put down the blood of Christ. You know, when we come to Christ, God credit to us, we call something what's in the term? He freely gives his credit, his righteousness to us. We call it substitutionary atonement, where he stood in our place so that his righteousness is reckoned on our behalf, that though sinners, when we appear God, God look at him and he acquit us. That is all God does for us. But my question to you is that, have you come to God this way? Have you come to the way? Have you come to Christ? Have you come to him this way? Have you approached God through Christ, trusting on the merits of his death alone? Some think to have come to Christ, God through Christ, but yet they are mentioning his name. But no, have you come believing that what he did on the cross of Calvary alone is able to make you accepted? And nothing in yourself, and nothing you have done, nothing that you can offer. Have you ever done that? The Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, and his blood flowed because of our sins. He was tormented, and then he took upon him all the things that the shame, he took the kind of death that was shameful, because he wants us to have peace with God, because he wants us to know God and know him, to live with him in this world, in the world to come. He will accept us. That's what he was telling Thomas and others. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'll come for you. But for now, you believe. Believe that I am here. So that when I come, I'll take you along. And that's what the message of Christ was. Are we willing to accept this and give our heart to him, that he will save us? If you have not done so, may you come to him and do so and call upon him. Christ said in Matthew 11, 28, he said that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to him now. Confess to him. He's ever willing. The door of salvation is open. In the prophet it is called, he said that the gate to the city will never be shut. People can come in night and day. And that is it. You can call upon the Lord Jesus Christ at any time, and he will accept us.